A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Millman.
Hello.
And joined by Josh Brown.
Hello.
Now, The Last of Us 2, we don't know if it's coming this year. We hope dearly that it is. But Little Miss Ash finally played The Last of Us.
I finally did. I'm 5 years late to the party. But oh.
What a party it is.
What a party is, that's what I was going to say. Like, I have had... I've had an amazing time. I've had a very emotionally traumatic time, but it's been a good one.
So we kind of thought we'd break it down. We started talking about The Last of Us again, and like, it's one of the greatest games of all time, one of the best stories ever told in video games and everything. And so the only way to make it relevant for a YouTube algorithmic purpose is to talk about Last of Us 2. But we'll get there after we've talked about Last of Us 1 a bit. Josh, when was the last time you played it?
About 2 years ago, but I've played it about 5-6 times since like it came out. And I actually only played it when the remaster came out for PlayStation 4, so I picked it up then, played through that, played through Left Behind. I think I've played through Left Behind about 3 times. Because I like playing it on the grounded difficulty. We'll get into like the gameplay at some point, but I started on hard, went on to the one after that, I think it was Survival, and then Grounded. So I had to play through it like a bunch of different times. Right. And each time, it was just as captivating as the time before. Even like going back through it and reading the same sort of pages and the same, looking at the same environmental storytelling over and over again, I was like, I'm never going to get sick of this world. I'm scared that I just won't.
I think we will get to Last of Us 2 stuff as well. But Ash, we've actually not talked about your thoughts on The Last of Us. I'm assuming it's positive, but what did you think?
Of course, I absolutely loved it. Like, everyone keeps talking about it being the narrative of a generational, this sort of thing, and it being one of the best pieces of one of the best pieces of storytelling you can get in gaming, and like it is, amazing. I described to someone else who was asking if I should recommend it as being like in an episode of The Walking Dead, because that's like my closest like reference point. Like not as in the Telltale ones, in the actual series, because it reminded me of the start of that, when I was like absolutely hooked on the zombie stuff and wanted to learn the lore and how this whole thing had happened. And then you get these like really tight characters that it like focuses in on, these two characters. They're just like amazing and so well fleshed out, and like they're just so nuanced and wonderful and human, and I just want the best for them. Like.
So one of the things that Josh said, which is the biggest talking point at the end of The Last of Us, is how right was Joel to do what he did. Side did you come down on as to, did you empathise with his final choice or what?
I actually knew what was going to happen at the end. Like, you spoiled it for me.
That was not me.
Like Scott.
It's not at all. What do you mean?
Both of you did. You wrote an article for me on the best endings in
read.
Games, and
yeah,
I was
you read it, mate. So. What did you know? Did you know that like he was going to escape with Ellie?
So spoilers. I knew about David. I knew David was not a nice man, and I knew the ending that that he breaks into the lab,
the machete
and
to
takes
the face.
Ellie. I knew you bosh his head in, but I didn't realize quite how like how much of a bosh it was.
Yeah, that scene is a hell of a bosh.
But yeah, the end, I knew that he escapes with Ellie, they get to the lab and he escapes with Ellie. But I was actually okay with that, because the whole like working towards getting to the lab, and then you know something's gonna go wrong with the way this world is. Like it's a flawed, horrible world, and there's flawed, horrible people, so it's gonna not be a nice ending.
Did you not believe in the Fireflies to that point?
No, I did. No, because they're so vacant, and they're just like, there's the tags everywhere, so they're dead everywhere you go. There's like that big bloater in the middle of the university that has the Firefly tag on it. It's like, well, they're all dead and they're all infected. Like,
it's all a lie.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, are these any of these Fireflies? He's going, no, I don't think so. just took a tag off a bloater. We know that the fireflies, they're not here.
Well, yeah, some of them could have died and the rest of them could be holed up somewhere.
No, I didn't believe in them. I was like, I was actually surprised that there was fireflies and that Marlene was there at the end. I was like, whoa, how did you survive? Mm-hmm. But yeah, sorry, I'm like rambling.
That is entirely what we want. I think, because me and Josh had this conversation, I don't even know how long I've known you, but it was near the release time of The Last of Us.
Yeah, it was.
It was something like
Jesus,
that.
That was a long time ago.
I know.
We're
old men, mate. And but anyway, and it's like, that's the thing. You come out with The Last of Us and it's got such immaculate character work and the script is phenomenal. The pacing's brilliant. And I remember when it ended, in a pure me fashion, I remember when it ended and it cut to black. Oh, sorry, the bit when Joel's in the car and he tells Ellie, like, oh, actually it was a lie. We're never going to save you. And that's not the way it was going to go. Because it's me and I doubt myself a lot, I thought I must have missed something. I just thought I missed a fundamental scene that explained what was actually going on. And I was like, oh man, it's actually showing me the scene that I'm not ready for and I've missed everything and whatever. Yeah. And so I still like the ending, the way that it ends on Ellie's expression, but the actual lead up to that, I just doubted myself too much. And then so realizing that Joel was lying, I was like, you son of a, I bought that. Like, you mother. And so I kind of thought, I just totally bought the whole thing. And then so I kind of had this double-edged sword thing. But in the wider philosophical conversation of would you sacrifice the many to save the few? I don't know. Because my wife is always like, well, would you kill everybody to save me? Because she immediately says, I wouldn't kill everybody to save you. And I'm like, well, cheers. We did do the vows, but whatever. And whereas I'm like, I think I do totally empathize with Joel. And I think I would, I don't know. What do you guys think about that question?
That's the brilliance of the ending, right? Because these characters are, like you said, Ashley, so nuanced. And I did that video on why Joel might be the villain of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And that's not me saying that Joel is a bad character or whatever.
He's a
phenomenal character. In the fact that we're having these debates at all and people can't decide on whether or not he did the right thing is just so great. I don't know what I would do personally, because if you do dig into the Firefly stuff, there are indications that there could be other tests and it might not even work. So you might be sacrificing Ellie for nothing, which you don't want to do. And Joel has finally found this sort of daughter figure to replace Sarah after the beginning, and in this world that's already gone to hell. I mean, we are decades into the post-apocalyptic universe at this point, and everything is just terrible. And there is seemingly no going back. And for me, it's sort of about pushing ahead and trying to find the humanity in what's left of it rather than trying to go back to what's before, because you can't go back to what's before. Mm. So that connection between Joel and Ellie is so special and ultimately worth saving.
What do you guys think of Ellie overall? Because I think she's one of my favourite characters. There's something about it. I get weirdly emotional with The Last of Us because I love those characters so much. I don't really care what direction you take them in, but I'm with them regardless. Mm. I have faith in Neil Druckmann having played everything that he's done and whatever. And so he was actually given a talk about the meaning of The Last of Us, and he said that a lot of the readings, or one of the readings that was put into the game that a lot of people missed, was that it's all about Ellie discovering that she can survive herself, that she doesn't need to rely on anyone else. At the end, when she sort of buys Joel's lie, she knows it's a lie, but that's her accepting that she's got authority again, that she's the one in control, and she's not just being fed something that she'll go along with, because she gets passed along from military military base to military base with Riley and everything. And I like that. I think that Last of Us 2 is kind of playing on that as well, that she's so much her own person that she's got tattoos and a knife and she's gonna go carve her name through half the populace.
That's why that twist or whatever works so well, because Ellie is not being taken for a ride or anything. She totally knows. She is totally, fully on board with buying into this lie.
But she wants a family.
Exactly,
she's connection.
Happy to accept the consequences that are no doubt going to come in The Last of Us 2, which makes that dynamic even more interesting. It's probably not going to pick up in the next game with her being like, why you lied to me all those years ago? Mm. She knows and she's got to deal with it.
That's the thing. I mean, I guess we can sort of segue back and forward between Last of Us 2, because the footage that's out there so far, the initial little trailer teaser thing that they did, showed Ellie playing a guitar and then Joel walks in, and immediately people thought that maybe Joel was a figment of her imagination and that, she's going off on one and whatever. But that's meant to be the plot drive, is that she finds out the truth about the Fireflies, but she interprets it as a war on the Fireflies, that they shouldn't have misled people, and that's why she's so angry. At least that was the initial thing. But in a script way, assumedly that's the manifestation of the lie, because Joel's going to have to step in and say, you're killing innocent people because of my lie. And so that's the way that they're going to explore it. I mean, do you guys think that'll be the way that it goes?
I actually have no idea, and I don't want any idea of how it's going to go is the thing. There's questions I have that I wonder know what happens with the Fireflies. Is there more immune children, which I know is a lie, but you'd think that this sort of anomaly would crop up more than once. So would his lie come true? Is there like an opportunity for them to be able to manipulate that? Are all the Fireflies going to be like fighting back and being terrible and evil because she was brought up in the military school thinking that Fireflies were bad anyway? True. So it taps back into that. But then she, like, Riley was a Firefly, so she knows that they aren't all bad, and Marlene was a Firefly. But yeah, the whole attacking the Fireflies thing, I think, would be a really cool angle. Mm-hmm.
I think that's her way of plucking the truth out of Joel, like forcing it. Mm-hmm. But that makes me wonder what happened to their relationship in between one and two, if that is the case with the plot. Because, by the way, they're pretty close to each other at the end of one. Yeah. You'd assume that she could just go like, hey, Joel, like, what actually happened?
Yeah.
Or whatever, and then he would kind of... Because it feels like in the moment he makes the decision to say, like, everything I told you was true. And it's like, they can easily go back to that. I don't know, I feel like two people living together that knew each other very well would be able to have another conversation about it. So I'm kind of... I'm assuming, therefore, that Ellie intentionally says, well, if you're not going to tell me, the fact that we're so close and you still won't tell me means I need to go and do this other thing.
But the thing is, Joel is such an insular person and such a person who is so defensive and protective of his past. Like the whole thing with getting that picture of Sarah from his brother when he gives it to her, and he's like, no, I don't want it. I don't want to see it. Don't ever show me this again. I'm very angry.
I've moved on.
Yeah, like, I don't need this. I feel like he'd be quite defensive on that point if he brought back to his past saying, you lied to me. You changed and manipulated this. Mm-hmm. I think he'd just shut down and be like, no, whatever.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that because their relationship, you know, like over the course of The Last of Us, they grow to sort of love and care for one another. But it takes a long time for them to get to that position. And they're only finally properly there at the very end of the game. So really...
But then it all shatters and then we cut to black.
That's the thing. Their good years or whatever are going to come after the end of that game. And it's all built around this one lie. So you can kind of see them both not wanting to talk about it. And if they do return to that in a few years' time, a decade later or whatever, wherever it is, that could just bring it all crashing down because it is fundamentally... Their relationship after the game is built around that one singular moment.
It's true. We can talk a little bit about Left Behind as well, the DLC, because
I love that.
Was the thing. It's great. I love that they just did a whole DLC about what it's like being a teenager playing around in like a mall, like you go and do the arcade games and whatever else. And and then they end on that like just emotional gut punch. Yeah. That kind of you always know something's just right around the corner. But I still love the way that they did it. What do you guys think of like I don't know Ellie's sort of relationship with Riley and how you think that's going to manifest in Last of Us 2 based on the footage that we've seen? Like I like the fact that they're fleshing out that side of her and saying, look, you know, full on like lesbian protagonist, and we're going to try and see how her emotions play out based on the idea that in this world, the closer you get to someone, the more raw it's going to be when they get wrenched away from you.
Well, see, the thing is, like I said to you earlier, like the way people reacted to Ellie kissing another woman in the trailer, I thought was very much, it was celebratory, but people seemed like it hadn't already been done in the DLC. The impression I got, that was from before I played the game and everything.
I guess a lot of people maybe didn't play the DLC.
Maybe that's probably it. People didn't play the DLC, but I was surprised to see it was like seeded that early on, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was really nice that you see like this friendship, and it's like it is more than a friendship, and that, and her knowing herself, and then that all being taken away really quickly and horribly, but then also learning that she's immune to zombies. So
that was actually, to go back to the thing you said before about like if there's more than one person who's immune, I really don't want that, because I think that for me it takes away the fundamental, one of the reasons that she's so important in terms of like, you know, the machinations of the script, like she's the walking cure, and it's like if there's multiples of her, then you lose the importance of her as like a plot device.
That's interesting, because
or as a certain plot device
for me anyway, when it comes to like those kind of narratives, I really don't like narratives about the one or kind of like the chosen one or whatever, and I don't think Ellie is, and I think during The Last of Us they sort of try to subvert that by those hints that there might be more. I think, for me, the whole point of The Last of Us is proving that Ellie is more than just this sort of cure or like potential to like sort of help humanity or whatever. Like, she's a person first and foremost, and she just kind of happens to be kind of immune
to more of that in Left Behind as well. Like, you get the scenes with her and Riley talking in the bunkers and stuff. Like, it seems like, but that's the thing, like in Last of Us 2, like, I mean, yeah, they've gone whole hog with like fleshing her out. I don't think when you said she's the only main character, playable character,
if they've confirmed that Joel is on. They were coy about it when they talked,
because the second piece of footage they showed off was like obviously Ellie doing a lot of what Joel taught her and how to be, and she kind of learned how to be a fighter beforehand and stuff. But it's like, yeah, it's like if you remove that and you follow her, it's like what else are they going to explore? Like, we know if we follow your theory that have you seen the footage of Last of Us 2, by the way, all the trailers and
I've seen bits of it. I didn't want to look at the woman too much. I've seen a bit the guy gets
When the guy gets hung up,
that one.
Like the woman that's getting hung up, assumedly, is Ellie's mum, because that's like another like plot thing.
She was gone. I thought she was.
What? That's what you thought.
Marlene told us.
Well, but then Marlene would say that to keep Ellie to do what she needs for the sake of the
Fireflies.
But she
didn't know that she was immune when she was a kid, because only when she got bitten that they found out. Yeah. So she.
But then she was. But that's the thing. If she was born immune, then.
Oh my god! How would they know?
Yeah. Oh. Well, no, I guess that's the thing. They wouldn't, like Marlene and the Fireflies would know that Ellie was immune after she got bitten, yeah. which was after the mum had left the scene. Because yeah. the whole thing is, I think the whole thing is that the mum left, gave her to the military installations or whatever, and that's why she ends up going from place yeah. to base.
There's a
base.
Note from her mum, isn't there? There's a note yeah. that says, like, this is for the. I thought she was dead. I thought, like, well, I got the impression.
I think they want you to definitely think yeah. that she's out of the picture.
The theory I have around this is mm-hmm. that she is Ellie's mum, but it could be occurring over two different timelines. We could be playing as Ellie in the present day, and we could be flashing back to her actions, her mum's actions of, like, why that's impacting Ellie as she is now.
Right. Yeah.
That's.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The multiple timeline thing is really interesting because in the newest footage, obviously, of this show, I don't know what the name of the character is that she's with, but like she kisses a girl and then it cuts to her doing full-on Last of Us barbaric stuff with a knife. Yeah. And so like the assumption was that maybe those are the two timelines that we see her in the present and then we see her in the future, which she's been reduced to, and maybe that girl, whatever her name is, has been taken away from her. Oh, I keep hitting the mic.
Keep doing that, Scott.
I can't help myself.
It's exciting.
You know, why not? And the assumption being that she finally makes a connection, an honest connection that isn't the one that she has with Joel, and then something happens to the camp or her or whatever, and then she's like, well, all I have is the rage inside me, which is what Joel had, and everything just repeats itself again.
Yeah.
Well, there's a really cool thing Neil Druckmann said when the game was first announced, and he said the theme of The Last of Us 1 was love, if
yes.
you can.
Somehow. It's like broken love.
Broken love. And the theme of The Last of Us 2 is hate.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You can totally see that.
That was the thing, because, he was like, oh, the theme's going to be hate. And it was like, oh, teenage angst. And then, I have full faith in Druckmann. Like, dude came on board as a lead writer on Uncharted 2 and has done nothing but gold since. Alongside Bruce Straley. But I mean, what do you guys want to see in terms of the, I don't know, like any direction the plot could go in terms of like where Joel, what do you think Joel's going to do? Or like, what's his arc? What's he got left to do?
I don't know what I want from Joel, because I feel like we've had Joel's story and this is Ellie's story. Mm-hmm. I actually want him, if it's going to be about Ellie, I think I want like references to him, but him not to be that involved. And I want to know what he's doing and where he's settled up and maybe living with Tommy at the power plant.
Nice.
Just stabbing stuff, being angry.
Punching meat.
But he's calmed down now, I think.
I know, if it breaks down with Ellie, he's going to be Mr. Senor Stab. He's going to be all over the place.
Actually, one thing I'd be curious if they delve back into is Joel's life as a... I forget what his role was. He only comes in at the very beginning of The Last of Us, and he's on the phone. He's on about transporting like a package, or he's on about transporting something.
Yeah,
we get like a hint as to what he was, but like a courier, is that the word I was looking for? And so I wonder if they'll retrospectively go into that, and the assumption that he had to lie to Sarah to whatever he did. Well, and then he loses Sarah and he lies to Ellie and
I think, I don't know whether I want them to do it, but it would be great sort of dramatic material to mine is that in The Last of Us, we don't get to see it, but Joel has done a lot of terrible things. We get glimpses of it when he's talking to Tommy about his past. And
him
how
and
he,
Tess got up to some
him
stuff.
Him and Tess got up to some stuff.
Oh, Tess is lovely. Can we just have a moment for Tess?
Can Tess come back?
Not on a podcast, you can't, but yes.
So I don't know whether they're going to sort of have him reckoning with his past, because at the end of The Last of Us, he's kind of put it behind him, but he hasn't dealt with it. He's still suppressing it in a way, and he hasn't really suffered the consequences of his prior actions. So I don't know whether we're going to get a sort of redemptive arc for Joel, like a proper one, not based on a lie or based on...
That's the thing. If you come down on the side that he damned humanity to save Ellie, then there's no redemption for him.
I'm more talking about his kind of just his selfishness, rather than like him damning the world or whatever, just him sort of doing things out of his own self-interest, presumably to save Ellie or help his brother, even though they don't really want it.
But the whole thing is, I felt like him saving Ellie was a redemption arc. I was probably like cheering for him when he did it. Like, I know.
What,
like,
in the final bit?
Yeah, when he was like, I got the gun and he was like holding up at the doctor because I thought it was still part of the cutscene. And I was like, shoot him, go on, shoot him. Yeah. And I was like standing there like,
in that bit with the three surgeons or whatever, in that bit you're supposed, well, assumedly you're supposed to walk towards the first surgeon, and that's when the game takes over and makes you scalp it, makes you cut his throat with the scalpel.
What? I didn't scalp it. You can scalp him.
Well, that's not scalpel. You don't scalp him.
I know. I went near him and he got a gun out at me and I was like, yo, no, I'm here for Ellie.
Right. B word that's not on YouTube. Yeah.
Dang, son.
Biz snitch.
So came and like pistol whipped him and I shot him and I shot the other two and I had a whole different scene playing out of my head where I was like slashing everyone around.
I've got to tell you guys this thing, because in that moment you walk into the room and Ellie's on the table and there's three surgeons being like, oh my god, you're not supposed to be here. If you walk forward, the scripting takes over and you cut the guy's throat with a scalpel. It's the first time the game says, hey, Joel's gonna do what Joel's gonna do. But you do have control before that, which is when you shot the three people. I don't know what you did, but I'll get to you in a second. For me, in that moment, again, first time through, I was like, well, Joel's meant to be the vengeance fueled, or like he's so passionate, he just needs Ellie. And I was like, I love Ellie, I want to save Ellie.
God, what did you do, man?
Well, my gamer brain.
Throw a Molotov in there.
You're not wrong. My gamer brain kicked in, and I sort of went into the room, and I was like, well, if you want me to be a monster, I'll be a monster. So I got the flamethrower out, and I just flambéed them all. And then I saved Ellie.
Ellie's right there. What if you accidentally set her on fire?
Well, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking game rules. I just thought, well, if they want me to be. If monster's what you're going to call me, I can't think there's a Let Live Lurk that fits. That. But anyway,
it's an interesting like angle to take, because when I went in there, I didn't want to kill the doctors. I thought they haven't done anything wrong, so I tried to approach one of them and just knock him out. And then George slides him on the neck. I was like, oh my god, what are you doing, man? And that's sort of when you kind of have to just be like, right, okay, you are not in control this moment. The game wants you to think a specific thing, and you can interpret that how you want. But Joel is sort of like you said, it's personification of vengeance.
In that final bit when you're in, it's all shadowy. You're working your way through the hospital and everything. Did you take out the fireflies in that point, or were you trying to avoid them?
Oh, I was killing them all.
Yeah,
right. So you killed them then.
Well, they were shooting at me though. These like unprovoked doctors. Yeah, you had a gun at me. Okay. But, like they weren't trying to gun me down. The
Did you do the same thing?
Like, I killed everyone like at every opportunity. I really was not good at sneaking in this game. I also had no patience for it, so I'd like stock up on everything and then just burn everyone like that came near me.
My whole thing was that I was embodying Joel, and Joel's already like pretty far gone as far as desensitization. They hint at the fact that he used to be one of the people that would stop cars on the road and steal things from people. And so I was like, well, I get that he can let himself go. And like, and all he cares about is Ellie. And on a fundamental level, all I care about in that scenario is Ellie. I have no love for Marlene or the Fireflies necessarily. So I completely embraced that and, you know, just scorched everyone and took Ellie.
I really agree. I don't think you're playing as you. I think you're playing as Joel. Mm-hmm. And this game really reinforces that Joel is a person with a personality that is set, and you are just in his shoes. It's like Geralt in The Witcher. You're playing as Geralt, but Geralt is Geralt at the end of the day.
I think one of the biggest problems with like choices in games is that I always have this thing. I don't know if you guys have this in. This is a wider conversation, but like when you get a choice in the game, it's like, do you do what the character would do, or do you do what you want to see? Yeah. And I always try and do what the character would do, but then I'm like, oh, but that's a really cool. I get to shoot their head off if I do that, or whatever. Like in Mass Effect 2, you can like hit the button and kick the guy out the window. Which like my positive shepherd guy wouldn't do.
Oh, were you doing power? Paragon.
Yeah, Paragon. Sorry, yeah.
I've always renegaded. Well,
so much sense, Ash. Of course you were.
Literally, yeah. all my crewmates.
Renegade's a hilarious run.
Yeah, though. All of my crewmates, Paragon. Everyone else, Renegade.
That's the thing. And then, yeah, I mean, that's part of like a wider thing. And what I was going to say is I'm glad they didn't do that in The Last of Us. I think one of the reasons that it lands is that they lead you down a path. They have him in cutscenes. Mm. They have Joel be so established. So yeah. The one time they have three surgeons ahead of you, your like potential surrogate daughter, whatever, right there, and they go, what do you want to do? You have to kill them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's interesting you should say that, because I was researching that other video I did and why I kind of went down the path of Joel being
Which other
villain.
Video to plug it?
I think it's Why Joel is Really the Villain of The Last of Us. I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
I found out through some interviews that originally it was going to be a choice. Like,
right.
They only give you, like, the option of either killing them or just, like, you know, doing something else. Mm. And apparently, I think it might be Bruce Straley, but I might be getting this mixed up, said, like, why? Like, why are you giving them the option? That, this is what is far more impactful if Joel has to do it.
Totally.
And, like, the player has no agency in that moment. And I think that's totally right.
I don't think the cut to black would work if you had the choice. Like, I think you need a juxtaposition of violent Joel, whether it's through scalpel or flamethrowers or Molotovs or whatever, versus just cut to him in the car and she's asleep and this is, I'm going to make up this whole lie because I just torched the place to the ground. I think that's one of the best things that works. But like I said, if you come down on the side of Joel is the bad guy, then I wonder how much they have to put him to the back of Last of Us 2 and just focus on his ramifications and Ellie.
Ooh, that's so true, yeah, because of all the people that go, oh, he's not bad. He's just a man living his life.
He's
at
all
the
of us.
The apocalypse. Like, no, I
the all of us.
I do think him saving Ellie was his redemption arc because it was his. It was him learning that there's things bigger than him out there. He still chose it for himself. But
what about the bit where he just executes Marlene in the head?
She'd come after him.
She was annoying. I mean,
that's his reason.
She was annoying.
She's annoying.
Yeah, she's on the floor going, "Do kill me." I was like, "Yeah, shut up, Flyfly lady." Like, you've had enough of that.
Games have changed you.
Yeah, literally. This game, honestly. All that matters is Ellie and keeping her safe. Marlene can
lie to her, shoot people, do whatever you need to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, one of the things that you were talking about in terms of the gameplay of Last of Us 2 as well is how Naughty Dog have kind of changed. Like, Last of Us was one of the first times that we saw them try their, like, wide linear thing, like, wider levels that still have a defined sort of, like, thorough path, like a forward momentum. And that's the thing. I mean, the bit that they showed off in the second amount of footage was this big old, like, middle of the city kind of place. I guess the second question is, like, how do you think Last of Us 2 is going to evolve on the way you play the first one? Because you said you like minimizing the aspects of the first one for the difficulty.
Well, yeah, because I thought the first one like played really well. I know a lot of people don't really like the mechanics of it, but I thought like shooting was solid and stealth was solid, even though you didn't have the patience for it.
I did a bit, but every time I got past the section,
were you shooting your whole way through it?
No, I snuck around as much as I could because I like stealth games and I was doing all the stealth bits. But as soon as I got through, I'd turn around and then shoot them all. So like
make them
after me. Make them after me.
Bike them up.
You were ending Joel at the very beginning. You were like the full scalpel version.
There's no character development there. He started out just killing everyone, ended killing
To be
everyone.
Fair, the thing that I absolutely love doing in The Last of Us is you get any, a brick, a bottle, whatever, and you run to them. Because you can do that thing where you run, smash them over the face, and you run up and go,
with
the baseball bat.
What's that spine thing's ever? You run up to them, throw a brick at them, and then
if you tried standing on their face, mate, when they get on the floor.
When they spot you and you're like, whoop, shut up.
Yeah, whatever. You could do that in Resident Evil 2, which I'm now playing through. But yeah, nice bit of head squishing in that game. Big fan. Big fan.
Were you making a point then, Josh?
I
feel like you were.
We're talking about Naughty Dog's game levels and
Think based off their past games, based off The Last of Us, based off Uncharted 4, based off The Lost Legacy in particular, I think they're going to push ahead on this wide linear thing, and I think that suits The Last of Us perhaps, not potentially more than Uncharted. I went back on my own point there, but it does suit The Last of Us in the way you sort of maneuver around these environments and sort of plan your stealth routes and plan your action routes through them. I think it makes more sense, and it also helps making the world feel either lived in or empty. Like, there is a sense of when you're exploring the neighborhoods in The Last of Us 1, not only is it great,
so desolate.
Not only is it great from like a gameplay perspective because you have all these options, but it really drives home the fact that this is a dead world in like this humanity between you and Ellie when you're having like good crack around the neighborhood. Like, that's worth preserving because everything else is dead.
That must have been something that they went back and forward on so much in development. Like, how much do you pull back on the amount of enemies so you can facilitate the character arcs? Like, that's the thing I love the most. Is that you get just enough combat. Like, I honestly think The Last of Us is perfect. Like, I don't have any problems with it whatsoever. And that's the thing. They've been showing off, like, you know, these combat possibilities and how every area is kind of like this combat puzzle. And that's what they've been exploring in Uncharted. But how did you find the combat in Last of Us? Like, was there anything that you yearned for?
No, I really liked it. I liked the limitedness of your bullets as well. So you had, like, a real short supply of bullets. Because, like, I was there, like, popping them off everywhere.
Of course you were.
So I obviously came into trouble a couple of times and was like, oh, I've got no bullets. I'm really low on all my supplies because I keep cranking out Molotovs. Like, I actually need to, like, play the game how it wants me to play as well, so then I'd have to, like, change my tactics and stuff. stuff. And I thought that was really clever and nice way of doing it, because it like changes your difficulty and all that sort of thing as you get through the different scenarios. And there was lots of times that I found it quite hard not to come back and then reassess my paths and stuff. I just think it was perfect. I think it was just the right level of difficulty. And like you say, the right level of amount of combat versus amount of stealth versus amount of like chatting and looking at things and stroking giraffes and all that nice stuff.
Oh, the giraffe moment. Mm. Do we think Last of Us 2 will have a giraffe moment?
Yes.
That's a hell of a thing.
How do you replicate it, though?
That, how do you replicate it without it being too full on? Although Lost Legacy did it beautifully with the elephants, which I'd recommend. That game's elephant scene is absolutely adorable.
Just the zoo animals, man.
That's they totally did it, like very wink and nod in Lost Legacy. If you haven't played Uncharted Lost Legacy, it's phenomenal. But there's one bit where you just go through a cave and you just like come out, the camera like pans up. It's like, we're just with a bunch of elephants now. Do you want to go and stroke them like you did in The Last of Us? And it's really, really good. But yeah, the one thing that I think, I can't remember if you could do it in the first Last of Us, but could you retrieve arrows after you fire them at dudes?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a thing that's in all games, is what I'm saying.
Got to make a claim here.
Go on.
The sort of bow and arrow mechanic in The Last of Us is the best bow and arrow mechanic in any game. It's better than Tomb Raider. It's better than Far Cry. Get a little arc in that
bit. I know, yeah. There's something about the physics of it.
Yeah.
But that was so satisfying. Especially if you catch a guy in mid when he's running.
It's so satisfying. And like, there must be a way that the game is sort of helping me out.
No, we did that.
Cool,
but we did that.
Feel cool every single time.
We did that entire thing.
It's on me.
We did. Okay, then. So, you guys let us know what you think down in the comments below. Are you looking forward to The Last of Us 2?
Have we finished?
We finished. We had such a good band. Half an hour's flown by, but we'll catch you guys next time. Yes, I've been Scott, the host for the What Culture Gaming podcast, joined by Ash.
Hello and goodbye.
And joined by Josh.
Hello and goodbye, I guess. I don't just repeat the thing the guest says every single time.
Why not?
Make me go first next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.